up and it's going to be the hammers coming down, and so we have these little indicators. I mean, we see a lot of times we pretend they're not there, but they're there. If we stop and think about it, here it comes, all right, it's starting to rise up. What happens here? Now, I find myself, at that moment, I'm going to say, okay, I need to dip into my sweet, reasonable reservoir and pull it out. It's about this big, and that really doesn't help much, and so I'm in trouble. And so I'm about ready to give the person a piece of my mind. This is very different than the peace of God, if you get the spelling difference between those two pieces, all right? And so what do? Here's the next thing. So what are we trying to do? Firmness, stand firm, maturity in Christ. First of all, it has to do with how we approach and work at harmony. Secondly, it's developing this thing, this muscle or this practice or this response of sweet reasonableness that's evident to everybody. And then now we come to this other thing where, but it doesn't always work that way. And I'm not always sweetly reasonable. Because Marilee's a hard person to live with, as you all know. She's just Mrs. Contention, argumentative. Okay, that's my wife. My wife is Mrs. Harmony. So you'd think I'd have it real easy in our home. But we have our moments of tension too. Okay, sweet reasonableness. When it seems to be gone or I forget to take it off the shelf or pull it out of my pocket, what do? Here's the next one. Now he's going into this other thing. So a lot of times when we go through our Bibles, we just grab this little one right here and say, oh, I like this one. These all fit together. They're all related to help us to stand up and to stand firm. So now we're at this one. We suddenly realize we're in trouble. We are about to mess something up. We're about to let our emotions take over our thoughts and spew out something we might regret, but it feels good to say it just the same. And so I need to vent my emotions. And I'll just puke on you, because it makes me feel good. Might be make you feel a bit awkward. So here we are. Now, anxiety is in full force. What do? Okay, so at that moment, here's what Paul says is, time out. Catch these emotions rising up. Take a time out. Step back and pause. Just pause for a minute. And utter a fast prayer. What kind of a prayer? And now he's going to tell us, here's what to do. Try this. Do this. So he says this. Don't be anxious about anything. Are you kidding? We get anxious about all kinds of things. So, all right, okay, try it. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends, Martin mentioned it this morning, the peace of God that transcends all, it is beyond our comprehension. We can't understand how this works. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, so what is going on here with this one? Verse 6 says something like this. No matter what the issue, pray about everything. Okay, in everything. But then he says, no matter when the issue comes up, pray with thanksgiving. Bring your request to God. So there's an unexpected, difficult requirement in here. I'm sorry. It says, no matter what, in every situation, pray. And then when it is pray whenever you can, always. And now it is, how do you do that? Notice it says, in everything, with thanksgiving, in every situation with thanksgiving. It does not say give thanks for everything. Don't do that. When something horrible happens, don't say, thank you, God, this disaster occurred and I lost all of my family, or whatever, however horrible it can be. It is not saying thank you for everything, but it is saying in the disaster, then come to God with thanksgiving, but think about for what? He's doing something. He may not rescue you and make it all sweet and wonderful, but he'll be there with you. You're not alone. And so in any circumstance, come to him first with thanksgiving and say, God, help me to be thankful. I want to trust you. I'm not alone. You're here. And then bring those requests. Say, but help me. I'm devastated. I'm crushed. I have no reason to live. With thanksgiving, come to him with your requests. It was the late summer, 2004, the year before we moved back to Hong Kong. We were in Taiwan. And we just put our youngest daughter, our daughter, got her set up in college. Oldest son was married. Number two was in college. Now number three had settled up in her dorm, and we have our annual, I don't know if it was annual in those days, we had our physical exams, and our hometown doctor came to Marilee and said, Marilee, test came back, and you've got indications of breast cancer. My cousin's wife had died of a horrible experience of breast cancer not long before that, and this was pretty shocking. We had a lot of plans at the time, and it was going to be a new stage in life for us without kids. We had gotten used to our kids going off, and now it was just going to be the two of us, and we were really looking forward to this, and life could be real, real, real different than what we expected. What do you do? And so we knew this passage, and we believed this passage. And so we vowed we will come to God with thanksgiving. He's in charge. He's in control. Whatever happens, he's in control. And so we brought our request. God, would you show us what to do? Can this be removed? Is this going to be chemo and all kinds of issues? Is life going to be really different? How much life is going to be left? And you have all these wild, frightful thoughts. Now, some of you have been in much, much, much more threatening situations than that. And so we come to God and we ask, and then this amazing thing happens, which is exactly what this verse says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. You just cannot know how he gives that peace to you, but there it is. It's not denial. It's not fake. It's something that's outside yourself, and yet it comes inside you, and suddenly there's this calmness. God is good. This didn't surprise him or catch him off guard. It transcends all understanding, and it guards something. Read what it says. It guards what? Your hearts and? Anything else? You see what it says there? It's guarding two things, guarding your hearts and guarding your minds. We need to address both of them. So the anxiety that he's talking about, don't be anxious for anything. This is a lot of the heart stuff, the emotional stuff, the stuff that stirs us up, and it's unsettling. Or it's thrilling and exciting. It's this inexpressible joy. But then he says, no, there's another part of you that needs to be addressed. It's this part. It's your head. It's what's going on in your mind. What's going on with your thinking? You're in trouble. You don't know what to do. Your helplessness and vulnerability is exposed. You've got control of almost nothing when it gets right down to it. And you know that. That's your head. And so now he takes us to the next point, which is fascinating that the order is the way it is. And so here he goes. And so he says this. He's going to address our emotions. He's done that with your emotions. Stop. Pray. pray not with just desperation crying out, but pray with thanksgiving through this situation. And then he says something else. Here's what else I want you to do. Now he goes on to this interesting thing. And he says, so finally, brothers, just after he's saying, God will guard your heart and your mind, now he says, okay, now finally, interesting sequence here. And he says, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything of excellence or praiseworthy, what are we supposed to do? What does it say? Let's read it. Think about such things. Use your head. Work at it. So let's stop for a minute. This is not natural. Look at those words. So some people kind of think, is this the fruit of the Spirit? No, none of them are in the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit are actions, behaviors. These are things to observe, to notice. Okay, so he's got these. Now let's pass out these 3x5 cards. So if you're getting a little bit drowsy, this is your moment to kind of get alert again. And so take these 3x5 cards, everybody, and look for a pencil if you've got one. If you don't, ask somebody, if you got one I can borrow, and then do your best to give it back to them at the end. Don't give them your best pen, okay, because then you might get anxious. No, I'm going to have you write down at least 8 words. There's 8 words here. And we're going to put 4 of these words on one side, 4 on the other. I suggest when you write these down, you put them, stack them up on the left side of your paper. And so you're going to write like, you're going to write the word true on the left, upper left side. And then below it, you're going to write noble. And then below that, you're going to write true, and below that, you're going to write pure. That's your first side of your little card. And then you're going to flip it over, and you're going to write those other 4 cards on the other side. Now, I want you to have space to the right of that word to write whatever you want, if you want, some little notes. And then I want this little card to go with you for a few days, okay? And you can see if you can memorize those 8 words throughout the week. So I've been doing that this week. I would always get this thing mixed up, and I would get about 5 of them and forget 3. And so I thought this week, okay, I'm going to try to see if I can remember them all. If you noticed, I quoted it without looking, and so I've been practicing that to try to get it down. So what are these? Okay, so this is, what is to guard our heart? God's peace guards our hearts and our minds. We want him to take control over what we put in our head and what we think about. So this will not happen naturally. I think all of us tend to think about the opposite of all of these. So this takes effort to say, hold it, I want to stop thinking about that. And I caught myself doing that this past week over and over again. And I have to say, wait a minute, let's turn it around. Let's think about one of these 8 virtues instead of that garbage or whatever, or criticism or cynicism or whatever it is that I found myself running along in my head with. And so you cannot become mature in Christ unless you get a hold of your thoughts. In Romans 12, what doesn't it say? That our minds would be transformed. It doesn't happen naturally. It doesn't happen by accident. You don't drift into Christian maturity. Never going to happen. You drift the other way. Always. So, we need to put some effort into these 8 things. So, I want to talk about it. Don't worry. I'll be done by noon. Or before. Okay, so first one. Oh, let's see. I want to get this going. Here we go. You don't have to use these words. You might embellish it a little bit more, but think about it. So obviously true, it's what is right. It's genuine. And it's not fake or false. We live so much, I mean, if we stop and think about it, so much of our lives in faking it, pretending, and putting on the front. That's not true of us. I'm not suggesting we all hang out all of our dirty laundry all the time, but sometimes we do need to hang out our dirty laundry to a few people that we trust so that their sweet reasonableness can help us address some of these. Okay, so what are you supposed to think about what's true? Okay, think about what's noble. The ESV calls this honorable. I don't think that's quite right. I don't like that word as well. Noble has the idea of lifted up. There's significance to it. We use the word nobility, okay? So these people act, live in a different way, and you don't find them groveling in the gutter, in the slime. Noble. Okay, think about whatever is noble as opposed to what's shameful or vile. How about cheap or dirty? Okay, so when you find yourself and your mind wanders into something that's dirty, pull out your card and say, wait a minute, what am I supposed to look at? Hold it, my mind's right in the gutter here. Oh, noble, okay, let's see, what can I think about that's noble? Look around, maybe you'll find something. But you cannot just say, I'm gonna stop thinking about filth and dirt and think that you solved the problem. No, you've gotta replace it. Get that out, put something else in. That's how it works. You can't just get it out. There's gotta be an exchange, all right? So, right? I mean, now we're coming to right. So, true, noble, right. Right is the idea of just. Sometimes you might think of that as that might be more helpful to you. It's just. It's proper. It's as it should be. As opposed to, obviously, unjust, but wrong or corrupt. It's not, if you're thinking about what's corrupt, that's, don't go there. Stop it. Fourth one, pure. I was thinking about this by the sea yesterday morning, and the word came to me, consistent. I don't know why, but pure is predictable. It's consistent. It's going to be the way it always should be. Commendable. Is that the... No, I don't want to say that word. That's later. Wholesome. There we go. Wholesome, not defiled. The opposite would be spoiled. Instead of pure, something that's spoiled, tainted, of course, impure. Okay, turn your card over. The next four. First one is lovely. Okay, you kind of know what that is, I think, right? Beautiful. It calls for our attention. There's just something pleasant about it. It's lovely, as opposed to repulsive, unsightly. Your teenager's bedroom. I don't know, just a thought that popped into my head. Okay, lovely, as opposed to ugly, of course, or homely. All right, now admirable. Another word could be commendable. This sometimes is helpful. Whoops, am I on the right ones? Yeah, did you help me? where was it? Okay, commendable. All right, so this is something that we would recommend, or we say, hey, here is something good that should be paid attention to, as opposed to inferior or contemptible. Okay? Don't waste your time thinking about things that, you know, you're on the internet or advertisements, or, I mean, we see all kinds of stuff. It is contemptible. It is tragic. They want to present it to us as glamorous, but there's a hidden message, and it wants to get you below what is noble and honorable. Okay, excellent. Okay, excellent versus ordinary, common, unnoteworthy. It's just, yeah, so what? As opposed to excellent. And finally, praiseworthy. The opposite might be deplorable. And I've got disgraceful here, or disgusting. All right, so here's your list. Let's just go through it and say it all together. Turn your card over, and we're going to start off with, and the first one is true. So let's all say this all together, okay? Just read right through. First one is okay. Now, what are we supposed to do with these things? Think about them. Not once, just this morning, and okay, we thought about it together, we're done with it. No, it's all the time, over and over again, repeatedly think about this, because the peace of God is to guard your hearts and your minds. You got to cooperate. You got to put some effort into this exercise. It's not all God's fault. He didn't make me think about these things, and so that's just the way it is. It doesn't work that way. Okay, so now we've started out. What is standing firm in a mature person look like? Well, first of all, it's a person that's engaged in harmony within the community, the Christian community. It's a person that's developing this wonderful thing that I've called, what did I call it? What's the word? Yeah, that didn't go over very good, did it? I spent a lot of time on that one, and we forgot it already. So I'll just go home and cry. Okay, so what is this word that is supposed to be character that everybody is going to, so that anyone will see this about you? Okay, so you're stuck on the, okay, sometimes it's gentleness, okay, sometimes it was reasonableness, but I'm calling it, what's the word? Sweet reasonableness, okay? There's this tenderness to it. There's this kindness to it. And it's sometimes beyond our natural ability, and so we ask God to bring this sweet reasonableness in to help me figure out how to do this, okay, so that everyone should see it. Harmony, sweet reasonableness. The next thing we do is we need to be praying, okay? We get anxious about stuff. The mature Christian doesn't deny that. And he says, I've got to come to God regardless of the situation with thanksgiving, and then give and then ask for help. Okay? And then the other one is we've got to start thinking differently. So here's the next one. Okay, 11:34. It's bad. All right. And come on, little computer. The next one is the last verse, and he says this. Imagine that you are the person writing this, okay? Pretend this is you, and you're talking to everybody else in this congregation, okay? And so you're telling everybody, whatever you folks have heard, no, have learned, received, or heard from me, or seen in me, okay? So it's you. Whatever we've seen in you, Martin Ray, or whatever we've seen in you, Norman Mosdorp, or whatever we've seen, whoever it is, what you can say, whatever you've seen in me, if you've heard me, whatever you've received from me, put it into practice. Watch me. Put it into practice. I'm your example. Now, can you say that? Can you say that to people and say, follow my example? Watch me. We all should be able to say that. That's the point. That is Christian maturity, is nothing to hide. You're not perfect yet. Remember, Paul said, I haven't achieved it yet. I haven't got there. But earlier he says, follow my example. Here he says, whatever you've seen in me, do it. Put it into practice. And it is this word practice means repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. Do it again and again and again. Think on these things again and again and again. Offer your prayer with thanksgiving over and over. Do it again and again. Work on sweet reasonableness in more and more situations. Try to develop harmony again and again and practice it. Do it. Work at it. Do it. And follow my example, because I'm standing firm, following Christ. I'm a model. Another time Paul says, I live as a model for you. So this is really what we a lot of times we say, I'm just a grade school Christian. Doesn't get much better than this. You got to be kidding. What in the world did Jesus die for us but to bring us the fullness of life? To experience the great joy of walking in his pleasure, living beyond and above circumstances, to recognize I'm forgiven and I will live that way, to not deny who I am. Yes, I'm a sinner, but that doesn't excuse me to do it some more. I'm ashamed of it. I apologize for it. And so here's where we are today. Now, this week, as you go out, try one of these things. Try one of them. Working at harmony. Think of a situation where, you know, I'm going to try to exercise sweet reasonableness in this conversation. Or to say, I am so worried about this thing, but I've never really asked God to help me be thankful as he walks through it with me. Or to say, I want to just work at these eight things to see if I can start thinking differently. Now, there's something any of us could grab onto for the week. Let's pray. Father, we've looked at your word, and it says we need to stand firm. And here are ways to move us in that direction. So I pray for these dear brothers and sisters at DBICC, whether they are a teenager or they're an old 60-something person like me or beyond. We want to change. Transform us. Help us this week to think differently, to react differently, and that sweet reasonableness might permeate our character, so that you would be delighted and you would say, yes, I had that for you. You can live that way because you're my child. And we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.